Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to the vibrant, powerful person you were always meant to be so that you can create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Today, my guest is Tammy Leitzel, a wonderful woman who I had on the show a few months back to talk about shame and sexuality as it applies to our daughters. Tammy is a sensuality expert and empowerment coach who helps women regain their confidence and sense of self-worth after relationship or sexual trauma. She teaches sensual self-expression in a safe and playful manner and has helped thousands of women shed the past, leading them to feel greater levels of empowerment and self-expression. Now, after our discussion a month or two ago, I just had to invite Tammy back to help us all discover how to unlock and use our playful power for maximum effectiveness in our lives. So today, we're going to discuss how owning and operating your body allows you to reconnect with the vibrant and powerful woman you were always meant to be. Tammy, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, I am just thrilled to have you back. As you know, I just love you to pieces and I love your topic.
The feeling is mutual. We have a bond already.
We do. We're just going to keep doing this every few months.
Nice.
Yeah. So I do really want to make sure, though, that we're able to share enough to make a difference for any women who might be listening and maybe thinking that they're too broken or missing some piece to really embrace who they are and become the powerful woman that they're meant to be. Okay, so that's my goal. And with that in mind, I think we probably have to just dive right into the topic. Sound okay?
Great.
Awesome. So what is body ownership and why is it necessary for women?
Yeah, I use the term body ownership. It's very similar to the terms autonomy or sovereignty, but a lot of people don't know those words or understand them. Autonomy is the freedom from external control or influence. And sovereignty is the ability of or a state to govern yourself. And I feel like as women, we're given so many rules of engagement about not only how we are supposed to look, but how we're supposed to think, feel, and act. And by using the term body ownership, I think it takes women right into the heart of where we can actually get a handle on improving our lives. So to me, body ownership is your fundamental human right. It's the act, the ability to act, to state your beliefs, and the right to actually possess your own body.
Nice. So it really is about standing strong in your power.
Yes. It means that you own and operate everything in your body, which means your own minds, your beliefs, your choices, and your behaviors. And when it comes to it, it includes the right to say yes or to no what they will do or what is done to your body. Right. And that even includes a no if it's been a previous yes.
Right.
Because sometimes we may have said yes to something. We might have been coerced or didn't realize that we weren't going to be as much into it as we thought.
Right.
And so sometimes we have to come back and say, okay, that was a yes, but now it is a no.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we always like to hold tight to the idea that, you know, it's our prerogative to change our mind.
Totally.
So how does sensual movement help women regain a sense of self after trauma?
Well, sensuality is our feminine way of expressing ourselves. So think of the innocent movements of little girls. That's sensuality, not sexuality. But what sexual assault does is it damages our own self-identity. it basically damages or literally assaults our sensuality. So the trauma, particularly that of sexual trauma, affects the very core of what makes us girls or women, and it robs us of our trust that the world is safe for us. So a person's approach and behavior in the world often changes dramatically when you feel that form of unsafe.
Right, right.
So by taking back your body ownership, taking back your sensuality, it helps you to start to find safety and therefore trust that your thoughts and your behaviors are appropriate. And it's just, it's a whole chain reaction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So then in line with that, I love how you took sensuality and sexuality and separated them, because I think that's such an important thing for people to understand, that you can be sensual without it being sexual.
Yes. Right. And if you don't mind me adding real quick, this is so adamant about this. I believe that women, girls in particular, are sexualized before we ever even know what sensuality is.
Mm-hmm.
And right there is the root of the problem. So we may be young girls just dancing around, expressing ourselves, and someone says, stop moving in that way.
Right.
And because that particular person sexualized you when you were just being sensual and enjoying the world around you.
Mm. That came up quite a bit in our last conversation. Mm. And I think it's such an important thing, because I hadn't really thought of it. I mean, I know that we're certainly sexualized, and that has become, it's become such a big thing over many, many years. But I had never thought of it from the place of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I've
totally
seen it from the other way, where they have a child standing there in a very sexual kind of pose and thought, okay, that just doesn't feel right. But I hadn't really thought of it about the child and what the child is feeling.
What they experience, right.
Yeah, yeah. Getting very real here. I tend to do that in my show, but not usually in interviews. You know, I can remember for myself being at a social here in Manitoba. We do these, it's just a fundraising kind of social dance. And I was at this event, and I was one of the key people running the event, because it was people I knew getting married. And I had a man, a neighbor actually, tell me something about the way I moved and how it turned him and his friend on. And he was a man. He wasn't, you know, and I can remember, I was probably 18 years old, maybe. But I remember thinking, okay, thanks for telling me, because I'm not moving like that anymore. Right?
Right.
That was my immediate thought, is shut it down.
You turned something within yourself off. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I think as adults, many women, we want to learn sexy dance moves. But really what we want to do is reconnect back to our sensual selves.
Yes. Mm. You know what? Maybe this is partly why I love you so much, and I love your message so much, is for myself, I know I have received the message through meditation and through journaling and through all kinds of things, even through other psychics. I've had them say to me, your body wants you to dance. And I'm like, well, I do dance, but you know, dancing is really awkward for me. It always has been. And now I'm just sort of piecing together these kinds of things that have happened through my life and how I have shut down that piece. So
yeah, as soon as you start to move, I bet even that instance that you, that situation that you just described, is sort of probably one of those moments where your body just sort of lurches and was like, is it truly safe to do this, even though this is what my body wants to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it's like full stop.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What a great thing
that you just learned about yourself, though, because that's the key to moving beyond it.
Absolutely.
And you can say to him, you know, you can just say, thank you for now revealing to me what needed to be healed. You don't have to get, you know, sometimes it's easy to be very angry about that moment, but that doesn't serve us that well any longer. To just say thank you to him and his friend, because now you know what kind of movement does make you sensual, maybe even sexy if you want. So just make it a mirror to yourself and know that you can get back to that.
Yeah. I love what you just said, that whole piece of not letting ego now run the show and get all mad and start blaming and shaming. And I'm like this because of him and it's his fault and blah, blah, blah.
Right. That'll just hold you up.
Yeah, that is just such a key piece. And then just giving that permission to have that conversation. In all honesty, I can't even remember. Like I really was totally not cognizant of whatever it was I was doing that they thought.
Exactly. But your body knows because it was natural to you. So exactly. It'll come back. And so what you expressed about not feeling comfortable dancing, I think you'll learn to get very comfortable and enjoy it.
Nice. I can't wait. So we've kind of answered this, but I want to ask it anyway. Can sexy movements actually make someone more confident in their everyday life or career?
Well, you know I'm going to say absolutely.
Yes, but I'm hoping you'll expand on it.
Yes, totally. It definitely, I believe it has a universal effect because it reestablishes the belief that you're safe within yourself. And it allows us as women to feel comfortable and confident in our own skin. Now, here's what I really love about it. I think that the lasting confidence comes from the knowledge and experiences that you gain that make you far less likely that someone can knock you off your foundation. So what do I mean by that? Because that's kind of like a little heady. What I mean is, once you've explored the edges of your boundaries between sensuality and sexuality, and you learn what you're comfortable with, you don't get knocked off center as quickly. So for example, if you happen to be standing around waiting for a meeting to start or sitting around the table, and there's a group of men who make an offhanded comment about a coworker's body as she walks by, you know, the glass window.
Right.
In the past, you might have shut down and just gotten red in the face and been totally uncomfortable. Well, once you've explored those sides of yourself and you actually know how to turn on the fire yourself when you want to turn on the fire, hearing comments like that don't make you shut down any longer. Hearing comments like that bring you to a crossroads where you can just keep your mouth closed and just give them a look that, like, I've heard what you said, I don't find it appropriate in this situation, and move on. But, you know, you can still compose yourself with dignity. Or, as I'm getting more and more adept at doing, you can actually speak up and say, guys, not okay. And it doesn't even have to be more than that.
Yes.
And they'll usually bumble some sort of like, you're right. But just making yourself known and standing up, speaking up and out for the other women, the sisterhood becomes a source of pride and, again, more comfort and confidence in my own skin. So Absolutely. It's a cyclical. Yeah. So I love that. So sexy movement definitely translates to all areas of your life.
It does. And, you know, just going with what you just said there, the other piece is that if you have a group of four or five men, it could just be that one that felt they needed to say something and the others weren't really there, but that man code sort of suggested they should, look at that, whatever. And it gives them permission too.
Exactly.
To say, hey, no, that's not okay. Like, I wouldn't want someone talking about my wife or my daughter or whomever like that.
That's right. And that's why I hope, because women tend to be a little bit more on the forefront of these things. We usually see where there's problems a little bit more quickly than the men do. So that's where I'm hoping that if more women step up and speak up and out, like I said, where all I had to do was not cool guys, you know, something like that. If men can see women handling those situations in a way that is not confrontational, but is creating a boundary, I hope that other men will also be able to step into the same sphere and spread like wildfire and even do it when they're amongst just themselves. So let's hope.
You know, it's interesting to me who the person who is teaching me the most about this, and I've really come a long way where I would be that woman who would say, not cool guys.
Yeah. Good for you.
But I still struggle with dancing. So that's where you're going to help me.
I sure am.
But I've learned the most, I think, from my transgender son, who is totally willing to stand up to either sex and to say, hey, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, think about what you're saying, you know, whatever. And it's pretty incredible to see his confidence and his willingness to stand up for both, because he's just so aware on both counts. So
I'm sure that you had a lot in to do with helping him navigate.
Yes. Well, I certainly gave him the stubborn stand up for yourself gene and stink eye. I gave him that. The whole stink eye to stop people in their tracks.
That's fantastic. And I think there's an elegance and a grace to being able to state a boundary or a disapproval without the whole confrontation. I think it allows the person that you are putting in their place, for lack of a better term right now, to have wiggle room to leave it there instead of fighting back and pressing back against their stance. Even if they don't feel that strongly about it, just because they're being confronted with agitation or irritation or, you know, anger, they sometimes will fight back. So
Sometimes they'll even recant, like they hadn't really thought about it. They just were on autopilot, they did it, and that made it real for them and made them stop and go, whoa. You know,
and you may have created lasting change, because now they'll think twice before doing it again. So awesome.
Cool. Okay. So I know we're on the radio and I know I can't see you. You can't see me. Our listeners can't see us. But is there a simple, sexy movement you can share that a person can start practicing right now?
Ooh.
But I know it's hard.
There's always stretching. I mean, that's how many of us have been to a cafe or anywhere and seen someone just languidly, just slowly reaching up and stretching. It can be so seductive for either gender. So there's that. But I'm all about the eye contact and walking confidently. So trying to keep your chin up, not so that you look arrogant, but that you look humble, and eye contact and maybe even a smile when appropriate. I find that extremely sexy. And I think if we would reframe a lot of what we do that are things that are connections, creating those moments of intimacy with other people as safe, sexy, moments, I think it would make our days a lot more fun and a lot more enjoyable, you know, just easier. I think
for everyone.
Yes, totally. People would respond to us much more openly.
Absolutely. So when we talked about the difference between sexuality and sensuality, is there a difference in these movements?
Well, that's just it. It's definitely a blurred line. So it's a spectrum. And what's very sexy for one person may just be sensual for another. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, you can touch a person's foot, right? And one person, it's totally about you just rubbing their foot and they love it. And the other person, it's a totally sexual move.
Exactly. So that's why no one's ever able to pinpoint, oh, that's sensual and that crossed the line and it's now sexual. It's a very, it's a gray area. And boy, isn't it nice to practice something in our life that's gray instead of just totally black and white?
Oh, yes. But now you get shades of gray coming in here, lady.
Oh, now we could go down that quickly.
That's funny. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about your background and how that ties in. But before we do, I'm wondering about, how do men fit into this discussion? Those guys that really want to support us and such and help us to bring out that playful, powerful, passionate side of us, how do they do that?
Yeah, if you want the special woman in your life to have a little or even a lot of sensuality in her, you know, that a little bit of Jezebel, you have to stop judging women in general. You got to stop calling women who express their sensuality or sexuality sluts, whores, bimbos. You don't need to police women's bodies or our clothing choices. We'll take that on for ourselves. We don't police your bodies. Kindly stay out of our beliefs and decisions. Give us the respect that we know what we're doing. And if not, we're going to figure it out.
Nice. Okay, so for some reason, the idea of catcalling, the whole whistle thing, that is coming up for me right now. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's funny because my girlfriend, we talk about this quite a bit. I honestly don't have a problem with it. Huh.
Okay.
Now, I think only because I've done so much of this work myself that I do not take on any meaning to what they may be trying to say. Now, that being said, I don't think the man doing those catcalling ever can tell. There is no outward sign that lets that person know this woman's going to be okay with it and this one's not.
Right.
So then you err on the side of caution and you don't do it. That's what makes it inappropriate, because you don't know what that woman has lived. And when the statistics are like 4 in 10 or even higher have been sexually assaulted, just don't. That's part of the, you know, exactly what you were getting at with men and how I said, don't call us names. Don't encroach upon, don't just expect that that's going to make me feel good, because I happen to be one of those people that's like, yeah, I got it going on. But there's a lot of people who don't feel that way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I think that is such an important thing. But I mean, the message, what it really boils down to is each one of us has to figure out what we're reacting to. Like if it's pushing a button for us, why is it pushing a button? And what can we do so that button isn't a hotspot?
Well, right? That's why it gets right back to body ownership. I know I own my body. Like whatever he says or does means nothing to me. But if you aren't, you know, if you are feeling unsafe, just like we talked about in the beginning of the call, that's going to trigger you. For sure.
Well, yes, but other people don't know what's going to trigger you,
exactly.
Like you said. So err on the side of caution is good information. But I have to say, just maybe 2 years ago, I went to an event and I wore this purple dress that was a rather form-fitting dress. And I came home and my husband said, I really like that dress on you. And I said, you know, thanks for saying that. I said, but I already knew it was a flattering dress because I actually got whistled at today. And my husband said, oh, I can't believe someone dared to do that. Like you could see him. And he turned it into something almost dirty the way he said it. And I went, you know what? I just took it as a compliment. I was feeling good. I was strutting my stuff and quite enjoying myself. And I didn't take it any differently than my friends at the meeting I was at that said, wow, does that color look great on you? Boy,
well, he has a man's mind, so he knew that that fellow was probably thinking, hey, nice rack or nice bum or what. I'm putting it nicely. So he probably knew what was the actual
thinking.
He went there,
but I didn't go there. And who knows what that person was thinking. For all I know, it could have been a woman who whistled.
That's true.
I don't even know.
Love it.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, we're down to like 3 minutes left already. So let me share a little bit about how people can find more about you and stuff like that. And then if we have time, we'll come back to a final gem or such that you can leave. Okay.
Perfect.
So if people want to get access to you, you do have TammyLeitzel.com, which is TammyLeitzel.com. And you can find that on the interview blog that is set up on my website at empoweringenergy.com. You can find it there if you weren't able to get that down. And you also have the wowfactorchallenge.com. Do you want to talk about that for just a moment?
Yeah, this is a fun little, I love this. It's a free 5-day, actually 7-day, sorry, email challenge. So for 7 days in your inbox, I'll send you a daily challenge. So it's how to get a little bit more comfortable and confident in your skin so that you do in fact get your wow factor. So be careful. You might get more catcalls though after those 7 days.
It's okay. I like them.
And there is a private Facebook group associated with that. So there are some more sexy moves and stuff to go online.
Nice. You know what? I'm going to sign up. I don't think I did before.
Great.
Maybe because it was summer and I was busy, but I'm signing up. And
Good.
That's where you also have your three things you must know about body ownership.
Yes, during that part of that group, I have a worksheet, and we talk about it in much more detail within the group. But you'll get the worksheet, which tells you three things you must absolutely know about body ownership as part of the Wow Factor Challenge.
Nice. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I do want to give you a chance. Any last minute nugget that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I get asked a lot of times about, can someone be godly in her own body, even if she's sensual? And I really believe that you're far more godly if you live in the fullness of your life than to live with a muted version of yourself. And, you know, just think about the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine."
Oh, that's beautiful. That gives me angel bumps hearing you say that, because I mean, that is just such an important message. And I think for so many women, they're stuck a little bit in their masculine. So their feminine isn't being allowed to flow. They've been shamed. They've been blamed. They've been assaulted. There's just so much going on there. And I think that the goddess is just really ready to resurface. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to thank you for doing what you do and helping so many women with this piece, because that is just such a critical thing in our society right now. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, I love having you here. Of course, a big thank you to our listeners as well. I love and appreciate you all. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her repeat guest, Tammy Leitzel, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.